I think of what scripture to start this morning with. And a number came to mind, so I'm going to read them all. James 4 verse 8 says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Come near to God, and he will come near to you. What a promise that is for this morning. But it gets better, if it can get better. John, in his epistle, says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Wow. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. And we have this confidence in approaching him. He will listen to us. He will answer us. And then whoever wrote the book of Hebrews expands on that. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." Can you imagine that? Approaching God's throne with confidence, not groveling on your knees, but walking boldly. Wow. How can that be possible? "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence," because it's the throne of grace. It's his grace enables us to come, "so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Wow. Don't need a sermon after that, do we? There's so much there that we could rejoice in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for that invitation to come to you, just to start coming, and you come towards us. And the confidence that we have, coming at your invitation, receiving your grace, clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come with hearts full of worship and praise to you. Lord, fill us more. Expand our, whatever it is that goes into. Expand it so that we can receive more of your grace and your love. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Nigel is coming to read our reading for us. Thank you.
Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 to 20. "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, 'I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you.' When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abraham to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had.
Thank you. I always think that the reading of Scripture is one of the most important things we do in our service when we come together. And if we miss out on that, we've missed out. Lord, take this time now. Take the words that I've prepared, Lord, and blot out anything that isn't of you, so that your word may remain and accomplish your purposes in our hearts and lives today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we continue the story of Abraham, or Abram, as he was known at first, Abram, son of Terah. Last time, 2 weeks ago, We read how God called Abraham to leave everything, his family and friends, and go somewhere. God did not tell Abraham where he was to go. That was to come later. And Abraham went. We saw how God was working out his great purpose to make mankind in his image. We saw how he chose Abraham to be his instrument. We saw the promise that God gave to Abraham. We saw how Abraham stepped out in faith and obeyed the command of God. We saw how obedience and sacrifice was part of Abraham's worship of God. Today, I've given this the title, When Faith Wobbles. In the story today, we learn how trouble came to Abraham and his family. Famine. It was a severe famine. And Abraham wondered what to do. Like so many of us, Abraham was looking for security. What could he do to protect his wife and his household? Where could he go that would not be affected by the drought? For Abraham, the answer was Egypt. Actually, Egypt has very little rainfall, but it has the River Nile, a mighty river. The Nile is fed by water coming from the heights of Ethiopia and water coming from the heart of Africa. And it would have to be a very severe famine across a lot of Africa before the Nile dried up. We used to live by it. Did Abraham, ask God what to do? Where was his security? In Egypt or in the Lord? On arrival in Egypt, Abraham resorted to deceit. He tells Sarai, "Say you are my sister." She was a beautiful woman and was afraid that he would be killed and she would be taken off. So where was his security? In Egypt? Or in the Lord? Or in his own deceitful plan? In his deceit, Abraham falls into the trap of using people as pawns, using his own wife as a pawn. It's true that Sarah was apparently his half-sister, or was it the same father, different mother, something like that. So when he said, "Say that you are my sister," it was actually a white lie, but it was deceitful. In the context, it's quite clear that he was seeking to deceive. He was seeking to deceive Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And so this ultra-beautiful woman caught the eye of Pharaoh's officials. And Pharaoh added her to his harem. Would she have been taken if Abraham had trusted God? We're not told what might have been. Would Abraham and Sarai ever have been in Egypt if Abraham had trusted God? Don't know. Meanwhile, Abraham was treated well, which is what Abraham had hoped for. So probably he hadn't counted that it would be at the cost of his wife. Pharaoh gave gifts to Abraham. And we read in verse 16. Thank you. Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. So Abraham was doing pretty well financially, materially, out of this situation. But his wife, Sarai, is kept in Pharaoh's harem. He started off in trouble and gets deeper into trouble. Now, from a human point of view, I can think of several possibilities that could happen at this point, looking at what God might do in this situation. Firstly, God could have given up on Abraham. This guy is not up to the task after all. I'll find somebody else to do what I want done. Logic in that. If the first attempt doesn't succeed, what do? We have another go. Maybe choose somebody else. Or God could have given up on Sarai. I could find another wife for Abraham, couldn't he? Lots of women around. And he could have left Sarai with Pharaoh, and Abraham could have taken his sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants and camels, and gone his way. God didn't choose either of those options. He did something else. And that something else meant trouble for Pharaoh and his household, who were somewhat innocent in this story. Verse 17. For the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife. So Pharaoh and his household are suffering. And then we read, without any introduction, we read verse 18. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. What have you done to me, he said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? How did Pharaoh know? I don't know. But somehow the Lord revealed to Pharaoh what the trouble was. Maybe through a dream or a vision. The problem was that Pharaoh had bought the lie that Abraham had sold him. Now Abram was in serious trouble. By avoiding one trouble by deceit, he opens himself up to more and more trouble. If Pharaoh was angry with Abraham, and I guess he was angry with Abraham, Abraham's life could be forfeit. Pharaoh was the supreme ruler of the land. And if he said, get rid of this guy, that guy would be got rid of. And then Sarai would no longer be Abraham's wife. So the situation would have been regularized. But Pharaoh doesn't take it out on Abraham. Instead, he returns Sarai to Abraham and sent them on their way, together with all those things that he had acquired while being there. Everything that Abraham had gained by his deceit. I think Pharaoh comes out rather well in this story. And Abraham comes out not very well at all. That's a reminder that, this is somewhere, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. The Lord has control over world rulers. Whoever they might think they are and how powerful they might think they are and how they can act without restraint, God has them in his hand, even today. And he will accomplish his purposes. So what do we learn? What do we learn from this incident in the life of Abraham and Sarai that is relevant for us today? Firstly, we can learn that it's better to ask God for instructions rather than going off on our own ideas. That's where Abraham made his first mistake. That's something that we each need to take on board individually. If you've never gone off on your own initiative without asking God, I'm proud of you. But also as a church, we need to take this on board. I think we are, seeking to know the Lord's way ahead rather than just, oh, that seems a good idea, let's do that, whatever it may involve. Better to ask God for instructions rather than going off on our own ideas. Secondly, we can learn that acting independently from God brings trouble. It brings trouble for ourselves, as it did for Abraham, but it brings trouble for others too. Brought trouble for Sarai. We don't hear her side of the story, maybe thankfully. Brings trouble for Pharaoh, an innocent, somewhat, person in this. Trouble for Pharaoh's household, the whole bang shoot of them were in trouble. When we act independently from God, brings us into trouble. But thirdly, and gloriously, we can learn that God is well able to take care of those he has called to follow him. He's well able to take care of Abraham. He's well able to take care of us. He does not give up on those he has called to obey him. God is faithful to his promises. What God says he will do, he will do. God is faithful to us. We can trust him. Even when things look bleak, we can trust him. God is faithful even when we fail, as we do. The Lord does not give up on us, but continues to work out his purposes for us. And what's his purpose for each of us? What's his purpose for each of us? That we should be in the image of God. That we should be like his son Jesus. That's his big purpose for us. And he's working that out. Other things, you know, we think are more important, but that actually is the most important thing. And that's God's great plan and purpose. His glorious plan and purpose for us. God is faithful even when we fail. Take that on board. Even when we fail, even when Abraham failed, when he messed up, which now, thousands of years later, we look back on the great prophet Abraham and all that he accomplished. Well, he messed up. He had hardly got going before he messed up. But God did not give up on him. So that brings us to some questions for each of us today. Let me try and put them plainly. Firstly, do you trust God? Let me put that another way. Have you ever consciously put your faith in him? This involves leaving our old way of doing things and our old way of thinking and going God's way, as Abraham did. That's what we mean by repentance. Leaving our old way of doing things and going in a different direction. You may have done that once. Actually, it's not just once, but daily we need to do that. If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, is what Jesus said, Luke 9, verse 23. So that's the first question. Do you trust God? Second question, do you feel that you have failed and God has given up on you? You may have failed, but God has not given up on you. One of the hymns I wanted this today, but it was vetoed. I don't know how many people know it, but it's not really a congregational hymn, so I know it was vetoed. But it's one that, when I was a young teenager, 60 years ago or something, we used to have open-air meetings, and this was one that was played at the open-air meeting just about every time, because my cousin and I were choosing them. Let me read. You may know it. The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. I can see some of you know that one. So, but that chorus. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. The Lord has a way forward for you, as he had for Abraham. Maybe today it's time to recommit your life to him and see what he will do. My last question for you is this. Are you ready for what God has next for you? I don't know what that might be. Abraham didn't know either. Abraham had to learn that God's way is the best way, and going off on his own way is not a good idea. So the question, are you ready for what God has next for you? Not ready in all the details and everything else, but ready, say, here am I, Lord, send me. Well, it might not be, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. Accomplish your purposes in me in these days. So be ready for what God has next for us. And that starts with trusting him and involves waiting for his way. Waiting for him to show us his way rather than going off on our own initiative. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this account that we have of Abraham. Lord, we can't thank you that Abraham slipped up when his faith wobbled. But, O Lord, that you've recorded it for us, for our encouragement, so that when our faith wobbles and we go the wrong way, we know that you are calling us back. Your arms are wide open to receive us and to accept us back and to guide us and to redirect us. And so help us, O Lord, in that. Help us, O Lord, to seek you continually and know your help. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.